Start the show. Well, hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
Every time Sean's talking over me and he doesn't want to say a word this time. Oh, he's on his phone.
Oh, that's fucking weird.
Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the video rental store as a kid? The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you were going to take home with you?
Yep.
Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to leave your house, but there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and heading home in the back of a beat-up pickup truck.
Oh, yeah.
On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, CEO and CPO of Del Griffith Shower Curtain Rings, Sean Pryor and AJ Vince. How the heck are you?
Best shower curtain rings in the entire Midwest.
Yeah. From this side of the country to the next. We ship worldwide, just so everyone knows, all you Australian listeners out there.
Yep.
Plastics. We can do ceramic. We can do vinyl.
Right.
Yeah. We do it all, just so you guys know.
Yep. Wow.
There it is.
Well, thank you so much, Sean.
You're welcome, Mike.
we're delighted to have you here with us today, everyone around the world. If you're new to the podcast, you're at the beginning of an episode where we take a classic movie that you love from childhood and give you every single bit of information you could ever need about the movie while dissecting it, Sean by Sean. So stay tuned for all the fun. But before we get started, we want to tell you about a few fun ways to support the podcast. Way number one, we got a motherfucking voicemail.
Ooh.
The number is 319-804-9596.
Oh, you fucking dropped the ball, man.
Fucking terrible.
I was waiting for AJ.
That's what I said. We all waited for AJ.
He always
want to try this again?
He always says it, and then we say it over him. It's supposed to be a fun thing.
No, you do it on your own. The number is
319-804-9596.
It's a group thing.
Yeah.
Call, leave us a funny voicemail like this, listener, and we might play it on air if it's good. Check it out.
Hey, guys. My name's Jeff. I'm a cross-country truck driver. I just heard about you guys on Burt Kreischer's Burtcast.
Yeah, who's that?
I don't know if you guys know about that, but he just mentioned you on there.
Jeez.
It was episode 483, if you want to check it out. Send him a little thank you. I'll be signing up as a Patreon and donating the $10. I love what you're doing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Don't worry. I'm not a professional arm wrestler or anything like that. But keep up the good work. I'll talk to you guys later.
We love our truckers, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You're like our number one listener because you're out there putting in the hours.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put in the hours, giving us your hours.
Fuck yeah.
You know?
All the hours.
I feel for you, man. Like I said the last episode, it's just like that's what I do. I listen to podcasts and drive.
Yeah.
And I appreciate all the shows I listen to, and I appreciate that you chose us to listen to.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And of course, we sent Burt Kreischer a thank you. We sent him like naked photos of us and offered sexual favors. I mean, because what he did was very nice.
It was very nice
young man.
Yeah.
Nice young man.
Nice.
Go
nice
check him out on tour. He's out on tour. It was me and Sean went. It was awesome.
It was great.
Very it was jealous. So funny.
Very jealous.
Way number two, hook us up with those reviews. We love getting good reviews. We love reading the funny ones. We have a segment called
Review Time.
All right, this is from, there's no segment for the voicemail. There needs to be one.
Yeah.
This is from Jay Kempt, 1988. It's titled Amazing for Any Commute. I listen to these guys every morning on my drive to work. They are extremely funny and knowledgeable when it comes to movies we all grew up loving. From being self-proclaimed biggest fans of John Candy, though, where's the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles episode?
Where is it, though?
I don't know. We are huge fans of John Candy. If only we could figure out a way to do Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
God, we should someday.
Should we someday?
Yeah.
Someday.
Okay, well then moving along, the final way to support us is a thing called Patreon.
Hey,
Patreon.
Thank you for the review. I appreciate it.
We're just giving you shit. It's obviously, you looked at the title.
And, yeah, we love you.
And we love you for writing a review.
Yeah, we really love you.
You're wonderful.
You should write more because we love you.
Please.
All right, so patreon.com/confusedbreakfast. If you're looking for a little extra, little way to support the boys, we finally are close to our goal. We finally are hiring someone to help us to put this on YouTube.
He's in here. He's in the room.
He's actually in here. We're doing a practice roll. Yep. It's
You did
it. See, did you hear that? So the idea is that we can give you extra perks. We're going to start putting this on YouTube. You can listen to Patreon-only audio. You can vote for upcoming movies. Check it out. See if it's for you. We love all the support we can get from you guys. A couple of our newest Patreon supporters, Ryan, Andrea Santo, Dakota Holland, and Samuel Miller. Woo. But that's about it. I say we introduce today's movie. What do you say?
I think we should.
I think someday has now come.
Someday has now come for that reviewer.
Mm.
So on this episode, we discuss one of the only Thanksgiving movies ever made, a movie that warned us of the perils of public transportation around the holidays, a movie that is a can't-miss on paper. John Hughes, Steve Martin, John Candy, and an endless barrage of complimentary B-actors.
Oh, man.
We are, of course, talking about 1987's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And for those looking to get a refresher on the movie quick, it is Thanksgiving time for you. You should definitely be watching this. Oh, yeah. You got to purchase it, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
$3.99 rental on Amazon Prime, $5.99 purchase.
Ooh.
That is a no-brainer.
You might as well just buy that bitch.
I did not see the purchase option, and I'm regretting so many things right now.
Yeah.
God.
And this was all at the time of recording, beginning of November 2021. So hopefully it's still that way. First things first, Sean always hooks us up with the pertinent and important details of the movie. Sean, let's do it, baby.
Here we go. Cinematography by Donald Peterman. Edited by Paul Hirsch. Music by Ira Newborn. Okay, here we go. Produced by John Hughes. Written by John Hughes. And directed by John Hughes.
Ooh.
He just does it all. Cast: Steve Martin, John Candy, Lila Robbins, Michael McKean, Kevin Bacon, Dylan Baker, Carol Bruce, Martin Ferrero, Larry Hankin, and Matthew Lawrence. Based off a real-life traveling nightmare John Hughes experienced when he worked for an ad company in Chicago and was at a meeting in New York and was supposed to be back in Chicago the same day. With a flight delay and other layover kerfuffles, the ordeal took 5 days in total.
Oh, wow.
So it just took him forever to get back home. John Hughes wrote the first draft of the script in 3 days. He is known for just churning out these fucking scripts, just like
hammering
it's nothing.
Movies.
It's like 3 to 5 days is like the first draft, and then he has like, I don't know, it said like 15 rewrites that he does.
Obviously.
Jeez. Which is, yeah, I mean, you get a good script after that, but it's just crazy how he just locks himself in a room. He's like, I'm here, I'm not peeing, I'm not pooping, I'm not seeing my family. It's just a script. Filming locations varied from Chicago, Buffalo, New York, Batavia, New York, and South Dayton, New York. They were basically chasing the snow around New York.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I mean, you film a movie in the Midwest wanting snow, being around Thanksgiving and everything like that, and you're like, yeah, it'll just be snow everywhere once. We'll just get lucky with it. It's like,
of course.
No, you know, if you tell God your plans, it's not going to happen, whatever the fuck it goes.
Live, laugh, love.
Exactly. I think that's it. Yeah. But, yeah, they like they were like, let's just shoot in Chicago because it's just Midwest. It's like, nope, we have to go to New York, and then you have to go to different provinces of New York. John Hughes originally wanted Tom Hanks for the role of Neil and John Travolta for Del Griffith. What do you guys think about that?
John Travolta?
Yeah.
I love Tom Hanks because we just talked about in the burbs that we felt that Steve Martin could have played
there
Tom
Hanks.
So I'm totally. I'm way into that.
I have no problems with
do
that.
Do not replace Lord and Savior John Candy with John Travolta.
No.
What?
Not all Johns are equal, okay?
Maybe,
not all Johns are
maybe
equal.
Maybe this will be better for you. John Goodman as Del Griffith.
Love that.
Oh, yeah.
Rick Moranis.
Oh, my God!
As Neil.
Yeah. Wait. Rick Moranis and John Goodman together?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Can I change it up a little bit? Rick Moranis and John Candy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I want that so bad.
The film premiered on November 25th, 1987, which is like 3 days after Thanksgiving, I think.
Smart.
And earned $49.5 million after its theatrical run on a $30 million budget. That's what I got
Snap,
so far.
Son.
Well, next, like, we'd like to give the audience a little insight into what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it, what that nostalgia rating is. I like to start with AJ lately. His letter begins with an A, name begins
it's fine.
With an A. I can't talk anymore. Go ahead. Fine. Start us off, AJ.
Okay.
I've never seen it.
Well, what's funny is I've never seen this. No, it's not.
You would have literally been kicked off and Jeremy would have stepped in your role.
Makes sense. I would have respected that decision. So I didn't see it, though, until honestly a little bit later in life. As much as I love John Hughes, I love John Candy, like obviously my Uncle Buck was a huge childhood film for me, right? But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, I think, I don't know why, but I didn't see it a lot when I was very young. I probably didn't see it until I was actually like mid-teens, you know? So if I had to guess, like looking back on it, and I definitely saw it in the winter, I think it was a part of a box set. I want to say between like this and like Uncle Buck, or it was like a box DVD set, you know? Couple of John Hughes movies or a couple John Candy movies or whatever it was. But I remember popping it in thinking that it was supposed to be like something like Uncle Buck, and it was this, and I just watched it anyways. And loved it. I love Steve Martin. I love John Candy. I love John Hughes, obviously. There's nothing about this I didn't enjoy when I was a kid. But I will say a lot of the jokes probably went over my head. So that all being said, I would have to say this is probably going to be, when I was a kid, a 6.9.
Nice.
Sean, what about you,
69.
Man? Got it.
I was kind of the same way, to be honest, how watching this movie, I just kind of, I loved Uncle Buck. I loved, you know, all the 16 Candles, that, you know, and Breakfast Club and everything like that. I never like really got to this movie, but I did like every holiday it's on TV, you know, that TNT or that TBS special. I would always watch it in increments, it seemed like. I would always, wherever we went for family to have Thanksgiving, it'd be on in the background, and I'd be like, okay, yeah, this movie's fun, John Candy, I love John Candy. And then the next year, it'd be the next scene of the movie or something like that. So, like, four Thanksgivings, like, 29 years on, I finally completed this movie, you know. But so, I mean, yeah, I couldn't say that I've sat down and watched this movie in full, but I've definitely seen it. So this is probably my first time watching it in full.
Yeah.
In the first time. But I'd have to give it, if I was going to give it anything back then, I'd probably give it like a 5.8.
I agree with you, man. You don't have to consume this movie linearly.
Yeah.
Like kind of like a Christmas Story or something. Yeah. Like it's just like you turn it on and you're like, oh, there's this scene.
Yeah. Drop in whenever.
Yeah,
you know,
right?
What I mean?
And I was definitely not as familiar with this John Candy movie. Like I've told you, like our family is like great outdoors, Uncle Buck. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because this is R-rated. This is an R-rated movie.
Just for one scene.
For literally one scene. Otherwise, this is a very PG movie.
Yeah,
it's,
you're right.
It's kind of a confusing choice, but I we'll get to that later. I definitely don't remember seeing this all the way through right off the bat, but again, it was always on TV. So for me, yeah, just not my favorite John Candy movie back in the day, so I was just a flat-out sixer.
Mm. Okay.
Hey, you want to get a few sixers?
Let's do it. Let's go to the Emporium.
You know us.
So before we get into the full film review, scene-by-scene breakdown, AJ does some research for us and hooks us up with the critical ratings and reviews of fans and critics alike.
Crack it.
That's his new signature move. He's always coming up with like,
yeah.
Yeah, so like what I always do is I always crack the beer.
I always crack my beer before we go into my segment, so... God damn it.
That's strike two.
This is the worst. This is the end of it, guys. Oh.
Well, this is going to get better.
Okay.
People are fans of AJ, though.
We're doing all right.
I don't know about that.
No, they are. They are.
They talk about you all the time.
They talk about you. Well, guys, we always start off at our favorite place on the internet, the movie critic buffs at whatever they are. Same place.
The tomato meter.
What'd you say?
I said Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
God damn it.
He does show up again today.
Strike one, Mike.
Shoot it.
Strike one. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is sitting at a 92% certified fresh on the tomato meter.
Damn right it is.
Oh, man.
It's a spicy tomato
sauce.
That's
a spicy tomato meatballs.
Bottle of Fetty out of Fettuccine.
Fettuccine. 1981. Well.
Sean started it.
Okay. 87% by audience.
Oh, man. Audience didn't like it.
Weird. No.
Yeah, they hated this movie.
So is this an 8? Is this an 8 IMDb? Are we still in the 7s? Like 7.9?
7.9.
7.6.
Wow, okay.
Jesus
okay.
Christ.
They don't know what the fuck they're talking that's about.
Fine. What was GoldenEye? It was like 7.7?
Dude, 7.2.
Okay. that makes me feel better.
We didn't align very well with the fans on GoldenEye.
Man, I'll tell you what. There's a couple of reviews here from some folks, and Roger Ebert was one. Ebert gave this like 2 thumbs up, 5-star, 100 out of 100. Like, he loved this movie. And for mostly because of like the casting and everything. I took a little excerpt from what he said. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is founded on the essential natures of its actors. It is perfectly cast and soundly constructed, and all else flows naturally. Steve Martin and John Candy don't play characters, they embody themselves. That's why the comedy, which begins securely planted in the twin genres of road movie and the buddy picture, is able to reveal so much heart and truth.
Nailed it.
He loved the movie, man. Yeah, and that's like you said, like this is what these movies are this movie is just all about.
Mm-hmm.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Sorry, this... Start one more time. You guys are throwing me off.
Quit apologizing.
Stop it.
I'm not looking at you.
Don't stop looking at me. this is Rolling Stone, actually. How could I forget that? Fuck me, right? another 100 out of 100. It all leads... All right. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles remains the ultimate Thanksgiving film. John Hughes understood that it's all about the buildup. No matter if your journey is filled with near-death experiences, cars going up in flames, punches to the face, or other disasters, getting to enjoy Thanksgiving with family and friends makes the odyssey worth it. Everything else is just turkey.
There you go.
Oh, got him, stinger.
And then what he was describing is the stuffing.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. Stuffing, thank you.
So we got all the good from the critics, right?
I can't wait for you to find a bad one.
It's not easy.
I know, but I know you will.
You know me. So instead of saying like, oh, I couldn't really find one here, this and that, I decided to take little excerpts from a lot of 1-star reviews from Google. Okay. So let's run the
just
gambit
a
here, guys.
Of idiocy.
Oh yeah.
Sounds like a band name.
Dibs on band name.
Yeah, okay, you can have it. It's terrible.
This is a real Johnny Rotten treat. Thank you for providing real-time views. Steve Martin, jerky as usual, and Johnny Rotten Candy, absolutely flawless. Wait, I couldn't tell what they were saying.
Absolutely flawless is what they just followed up with?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Just go ahead and skip that one.
Perfect. The movie is just two guys yelling at each other for an hour and a half.
It's fucking awesome.
I did not laugh.
Actually, John Candy never yelled.
Yeah, I don't think he ever did.
No,
I don't think
he's a kind man.
Hello. Watch the movie. Here's another one. I did not laugh. It may have been one of the worst wastes of my time.
I did not laugh. Jesus.
And here's another one. I hated it. So slow, also very predictable, and so loud.
Spoilers. They take a plane, train, and a car.
Turn it down, man. You don't gotta fucking have it full blast.
That's what he did. There you go. That's Google. That's the 1-star segment for Google on there. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I have one more.
Okay.
And it's another 1-star. But this is 2021, January 2021. Okay. Outdated and overrated. This film has seemingly been praised by critics and fans alike, but do not see such reasons for these praises. Found the film to be quite lacking in comedy and very forced. Steve Martin's character is too unlikable, while John Candy is better, but even so, the comedy isn't funny. Featuring a very simple and predictable story, everything is laid out quite obvious. Everything that can't go wrong does go wrong. I think fuck that one up. Strongly do not understand the high praise for this film and didn't find anything quite funny. More so sad and depressing. If anything, it is quite overrated and not a classic, as many claim.
Okay.
Thanks.
There you go.
God, thank you.
Yeah.
2021, man. Like,
it wasn't even funny.
So January, is that what you said? Just like
January 2021.
Coming like vaccines are rolling out, you know?
Yeah.
Just like everything's kind of getting back to normal. Just like not even this can lift your fucking spirit.
Dude, nope. It's like I don't understand how people think they can get away with writing these types of things.
And
honestly, they didn't, because it's terribly worded and horribly written.
You will find, though, is like out of all the bad reviews that we've had of John Candy movies,
yeah,
no one can like outright say John Candy sucks.
Nope.
They're just like, he's just not that funny in this movie, but
they just dance around the issue the whole
time.
You
know, like it's just, he's so charming, he just cannot penetrate a bad review.
Yeah.
Thank you. Goodbye.
No, that's all we got there, guys.
Hey, everyone. It's AJ from The Confused Breakfast. Before we get to the meat and potatoes of this episode, let's talk about your meat and potatoes. That's right. I'm talking about keeping your gear groomed and greased. Luckily, Manscaped has engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge, no pun intended, or is it?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. With the new Lawnmower 4.0, it's never been easier to focus on the details by shining a light on places that should only be seen in the dark. Not to mention all the amazing care products from wipes, ball deodorant, and their crop reviver. You can make sure your biscuits are properly buttered all holiday season long.
Nice.
Whoa.
The best news of all, guys, is Manscaped is actually offering 20% off and free shipping as long as you use the code CONFUSED at manscaped.com.
Wait, that's, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Say that code one more time.
Confused.
Confused?
And you have to type it with an inflection like that, I think, too. You have to confused.
Think it in
italics.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, if you type confused in at manscaped.com, you'll receive 20% off your order and free shipping. That's what you get for being a special listener of our podcast.
That's a good goddamn deal, if you ask me.
It's not bad at all, right? So go unlock your confidence and get your weeds whacked before you get your wiener whacked with the best tools and products from Manscaped.
Hey, it's Murphy Quint, head distiller at Cedar Ridge Distillery. You know why Cedar Ridge whiskey tastes so good? It's because we listen to the Confused Breakfast Podcast while we make it. All right, now back to the show.
Well, my dudes, what do you say we leave a fateful business meeting, take nearly every single mode of public transportation that we possibly can, while enduring endless pain and suffering, mostly brought onto us by a dreadful man who won't leave us alone. And 3 days later, with no money, shower, change of clothes, or sleep, let's finally arrive home to our ungrateful wife. Here we go!
Jesus Christ.
All right, so Neil Page is in New York for a business meeting that is running late. After it's over, he heads off to the airport to catch a flight home to Chicago before Thanksgiving. Neil is unable to find a cab. Just when he thinks he's found one, someone else steals it from under him. Someone. We'll get there. Finally making his way to the airport, Neil runs into Dale Griffith, who happens to be the person who took his cab earlier. Already in a bad mood, things get worse when the flight is delayed and he's bumped from first class to coach to sit next to Dale.
Damn.
I love the big letters scroll across the screen and the noises and everything like that. I'm a big fan of the just like the huge lettering coming across the screen of the title. Like Grindhouse did that back in the day, and I think The Witch did that or something like that. It's just like a really, really bold kind of looking thing. It's like, oh, I'm in. I don't know why it gets to me, but we've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
In a place... like at a job or like a meeting or something like that, where you're just like, yes, I'm obligated to be here, but I cannot leave. And it's just like, I love the ghost. Like, I gotta go.
I gotta go.
I've got to go to plane. I can't. It's so fucking good.
Still, man.
And the way that his boss is just like prolonging this whole thing. It's
so good. I like him as an actor. I do too. He's really good.
I love he's like, everyone's like, okay. And then he's made a decision.
Everybody gets forward in their chairs.
And he's just like, no, let me think about this a little bit more.
It's classic, classic John Hughes silence. You see this in all of his movies to some degree, somewhere. It happens.
Yeah.
Uncle Buck, Breakfast Club. These silences happen everywhere. These awkward moments in life that you're just like, why are we doing this? Why are we dealing with this right now? Because we have to, and this is what life consists of, is awkward silences. It's fucking brilliant.
It's like no words are exchanged except him like mouthing the words to his buddy. Yeah. And like no, nothing is ever said in the whole meeting.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just facial reactions and people like posturing and stuff like that. It's so good.
I don't have much to pick apart in this movie. I mean, no secret. There's one thing I didn't like. Why did they have to highlight the time that the flight was taking off? They show the plane ticket. And it goes, just in case you can't read, this is where you need to focus.
It's like,
is the time the plane takes off.
I like it. I like it just because it's like Steve Martin's perspective. He's just like, okay, 6 o'clock.
The only thing he can focus on is 6 p.m.
Exactly.
You just got to do it.
I'm just glad that it wasn't 4:45 the last time I flew out of town and I had to be there an hour, 15 minutes. My wife would have killed me.
Oh.
She's the type that gets to the airport like 4 hours early.
Oh, yeah.
To the Cedar Rapids airport where it takes you two seconds to go through. It's like, we're late. I'm like, no, we're not.
No, we're not.
Steve Martin's character is fucking late.
Right.
Very, very late.
Back then, though, you didn't have all the security, right?
Just walked right through,
You just get right through there.
Metal detector and you're in.
Yeah. See, I think that's like the biggest thing is that he walks right up to that gate and finds out it's delayed. And I'm just like, I wonder what that's like. You know? I wonder how that life exists.
Oh, I remember that.
He's not like still putting on his shoes.
Right.
And shit.
Like trying to shove shit back in his bag. Put his belt back on awkwardly.
Exactly. Forgot his mask.
Damn it. Oh, God.
Before we get to the airport, though.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon.
Like, I remember seeing him in this movie, like the snippets that I watched on Thanksgiving. I'm like, oh, it's a Kevin Bacon movie. I'm like, it's not.
No.
Kevin Bacon movie.
He doesn't say a word.
They were filming She's Having a Baby, like, at the same exact time, and it hadn't come out yet. And this would come up later, too. But Kevin Bacon starred in She's Having a Baby, and John Hughes wrote and directed that as well.
Yep.
And so I think it was, what's the other John Candy movie that we did recently?
Uncle Buck, Great Outdoors.
Great Outdoors. Yeah. Was that John Hughes?
No, I don't think Great Outdoors was John Hughes, was it?
Because there was a connection of like a movie that we did, because I had brought this up.
Written and produced by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, he was doing like The Great Outdoors, She's Having a Baby, and this movie all around in the same time. So he had all these actors just like on set. As we'll get to, there's so many other character actors to get to in this movie. But he just had all these actors and was like, yeah, I'll come and do a quick scene. And so John Candy has a little snippet in She's Having a Baby as
well. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I loved how Kevin Bacon like slicked his hair back before he got in the cab.
Son of a bitch.
That guy. The attorney on the street, though, did you recognize him?
No.
The dickhead attorney that's like, well, I'm an attorney. You know, like he steals money.
I'm an attorney.
He steals money from Dell. You know. Yeah. So his name's Nick Wyman. I'm looking at him going like I typically do, going, who the fuck is this guy? Look him up. He doesn't even have a photo on IMDb.
No.
But he did a few things. He was the baseball coach in the Adventures of Pete and Pete, the Orange Lazarus episode.
Yeah.
That was fucking him.
Are you serious?
Yes. Oh, I knew him right away because we had just done that in the last couple months. Yeah. And I was one of the episodes I watched.
Wow.
Orange Lazarus. Catch. Wrigley.
Is hailing for a cab in New York City that much of a bitch? Like, I've never been. Have you guys been?
Yes.
Do they actually yell like, taxi, taxi?
Yes, you do.
Cab.
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah. Well, now there's a thing called Uber.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, do cabs hear you say cab or taxi?
They keep their windows down. They all have good hearing. That's part of the taxi cab test.
Okay.
Yeah, they know.
Okay.
I know this by watching Taxi.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Danny DeVito?
Yeah.
Christopher Lloyd?
I only kind of know this from Cash Cab.
Nick at Night, man. Nick at Night. You got to get your Nick at Night in, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I got to get that cable.
Hey, so like we do in this review is we try to think about these movies in a different way, view things that we didn't normally see, maybe hit the pause button,
right.
Do a little research. So when he finally gets into the airport and he sits across from Dell,
yes.
Is it the book he's reading?
Yes.
Dude, it's called The Canadian Mounted.
My prop.
Yeah. Oh,
my prop. Dibs on that prop. That's mine.
All right, fine. We'll get to some other stuff. All right, fine. We have to. Whoever starts the prop game, we have to finish it. So, I want John Candy's mustache. Which, by the way, once you see this, it looks like his lips have an eyebrow because it's the same color and size as his regular eyebrows.
Yeah.
You can't unsee that once you see it. It looks like he has an eyebrow for his lip. Okay, that's what I want.
All right, I know exactly what I want.
Okay.
I want Del Griffith's examples of shower curtains. I want the little pocket
book. All right, cool.
Hold on. So the Canadian Mounted is, not a real book.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like the cover of it's got like a very seductive woman on it. Deadpool 2, he's reading that in Deadpool 2, the same book.
Are you serious?
Ryan Reynolds' character sitting on the a desk paying tribute. He's got the Canadian Mounted.
That's
he's reading it.
Brilliant.
Fucking pretty awesome, right?
I love those movies.
I'm mad that you stole that.
He's trying to make it, he realizes that Steve Martin or Neil is the guy who he took the cab from or whatever. He's like, "Hey man, you want a hot dog or a beer? I'll get you a hot dog." Like, just
keeps going
immediately. I love John Candy right off the goddamn bat. You know, it's just like anytime John Candy or someone like that offers me a hot dog and a beer, you fucking take
it. You take a hot dog and a beer.
Hot dog and a beer.
Dude, I've never wanted a hot dog and a beer more in my life because like,
absolutely.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I forgot. I did not write this down, but you know how right at that moment when he goes, Neil recognizes Dell and he flashes back to like the look he gives him from the cab. Because earlier he gives him this like scared look from the taxi cab, but in the airport, all they do is superimpose a taxi cab door over his face and he gives him the same. He's still in the airport, but it's like this weird recollection.
I have it written as that little memory shot is it's like set makeup.
Yeah,
it's set makeup is what I wrote. And it's so funny because he's like, "Where do I recognize this guy from?" And it's a silent shot of him going,
but he's still in the airport with the taxi cab door around
him.
Oh, it's so good.
Holy shit, man.
So he calls home to his ungrateful wife,
right,
who I'm sorry, I'm going to keep dwelling on this, but she's like, "I don't understand. Like, what do you mean the flight was canceled?" It's like, the flight was fucking canceled.
That's what I mean. I don't know what you're like.
You're in Wichita.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm actually cheating on you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm still in Chicago, in New York.
Right, right.
No, the fucking flight's canceled. Now I'm in Wichita. I mean, I guess we'll get to that. But they show the house. Tell me you thought that was the Home Alone house.
It looked just like it.
It's 100%. Not.
It looks so similar, though.
It's absolutely eerily similar, but then you put them side by side, you go,
Yeah.
I guess they were both in the Chicago suburbs, but different areas of
the
suburbs.
You just got a knack for those goddamn houses. Those, like, four-story houses or some shit.
The how did they afford that house kind of thing.
100%.
The four-person family afford that house. I guess Home Alone makes more sense, but... I think in that scene too, where he calls his wife, the two kids are arguing or whatever, it might be a little bit before that or whatever. But one of them says, "I prefer Indian burns over noogies." I'm like, "I do not."
Yeah,
noogies.
I do not prefer noogies over Indian burns. I'll take an Indian burn, Native American burn.
Yes, please. Thank you.
All day over a noogie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, and speaking of Home Alone, we got a cameo on the plane. The old man sitting next to them.
Oh yeah,
it was the guy in Home Alone 2 or Home Alone 1. It's like she's got all kinds of earrings, the dangly ones.
Bill Irwin
Bill Irwin. Yeah, he was the one that he goes, "Oh, all right."
Yes.
you're a Christmas movie guy. She's trying to.
We don't need the earrings. She's got all the dangly.
She's trying to buy the tickets off of this lady. Like, "Oh, I got a pocket protector and a pocket watch."
Yeah.
And is this a real Rolex? No, but does it look like it?
Yeah, that's right.
That's her husband's like, "Come on, Irene. Or boarding.
We're boarding already."
Same guy. He just flies a lot.
Yeah, that's right. This time he's just without his weird wife, you know?
It's fun. Once I saw him, I'm like, "Oh, shit." Because John Hughes just has these actors in his pocket. He's like, "Hey, just come down to a scene and we'll call it good."
And apparently they filmed like 5 hours of this. The original cut of this movie was like 3 hours long. So there were so many deleted scenes. One of them was that the same guy, Bill Irwin, on the plane, like they're eating a meal and someone's sitting in front of them and their hair comes over the back of the seat into Neil's food and they're arguing about it. But he didn't have a speaking role. But and then what line of the movie? I mean, we're going to probably argue about this the whole time, but $6 in my right nut says we don't land in Chicago. He's just staring at him in the face.
He just wakes up. Imagine that from Neil's perspective, that he's just like, "God, I've got this guy over here." And he looks at Dell. He's like, "God, this mother." And his eyes pop open at you. I'd be creeped, man.
Before he fell asleep, he's just taking off his shoes, which I'm like, I would be like, I understand. And I like his reaction. I'm like, "Dude, I've been there, like a day after work or something." Like my dogs are barking, you know. But then he takes off his socks and he's like whipping them.
It
feels really good. It's just like getting it all over the plane.
Oh, it's fucking foul, man. There's a special like circle of hell reserved for those kinds people of people.
Take
man.
Their shoes off on an airplane.
Yes.
All right, so moving along. Unfortunately, due to heavy snow in Chicago, the flight is diverted to Wichita, Kansas. The flight is canceled soon after. Dell agrees to help Neil find a room where he's staying if Neil will pay the cab fare. Upon reaching their hotel, only one room with a queen size bed is available. Neil quickly grows annoyed with Dell's habits and hygiene and lashes out at him. Neil calms down and the two eventually fall asleep.
So speaking of fun cameos, especially in the Confused Breakfast world, Larry Hankin, the driver of the most badass cab in history, dude. Also the bar friend in Wedding Singer.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
I got even more. He was Officer Balzac in Chicago PD in Home Alone. Crazy on line four. Hang on.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. That's
Do you know
right.
what his name was credited in the movie? They never say it.
Oh, isn't it? Oh, fucking, what's his... Doobie?
Doobie.
Doobie.
I'd ride in that fucking
His name's Doobie Tequila.
And again, he's trying to be nice. He's like, your friend's never been here before. Yeah. I want to show him the town.
And he's like, well, he's proud of his city. You know, that's a rare thing these days. It's just like, yeah, come off it, man.
Meeting someone named Doobie Tequila on any, like, diversion of a flight or a trip or anything like that would be worth the hassle no matter what. Like, I met a man in this world that we live in with people called Doobie Tequila.
His cab
Doobie
has tequila. Hydraulics.
It's so bad.
It also has one of the, like, it's the boomerang antenna for, like, limousines on the back.
You know what? That's going to be my next gig. But buy a bitchin'-ass car, get West Coast Customs to hear that I like bitchin'-ass cars with movie theme to it, and build me a car with a bitchin'-ass movie theme to it and drive around giving people rides. Like, that's all the business I'm going to ever need.
Yeah.
It's just like driving around in that car, hanging out, fucking being like, yeah, I'll take you to the town. It sucks, but we're going to go around
and
it.
You take the longest route possible.
Exactly.
And they show up at the Braidwood Inn. And I love that line. Like, Neil's already like, holy shit. Well, I mean, like, I've stayed in a hotel like that before.
Yeah.
It's not you pull up and you go, oh, no.
Dude, he's looking at that place like there's an active stink coming off of it.
But John Candy realizes this and just says, stick with me.
Yeah. He's walking. Been here before.
He's been there before. Oh, one more came. Ben Stein was the worker at the airport.
Yeah.
And behind him, it said Destination Nowhere. I don't know if you ever caught that.
Dude, Ben Stein, like, I have to. He's also a big presence in like John Hughes movies. Yeah. Ferris Bueller. Mm-hmm. Ferris Bueller's dad, by the way, was in the beginning.
That's right.
And he must have been there on business. And then he was also going back to Chicago to have
never make the flight.
You'll never make the six man. And he's like, he was there too. I think that is in fact Ferris Bueller's dad. And
in
that
this scene?
He in this scene, and he was flying back to Chicago.
Oh
to
no!
Have Thanksgiving with Ferris and the family.
Okay,
I think that was him.
Okay. Damn, bro! Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that parade was Thanksgiving parade. The Macy's.
Yeah.
Oh shit ass!
Shit ass man.
Shit.
You're right, Mike. You're right. Shit ass.
What do you mean? Can we talk about sometimes films get things so right that they make you feel things you've never felt before or never wanted to feel when you haven't actually experienced it. Like, you know, like you'll get like your back will hurt if you see someone like break their back and you're just like, my back hurts.
Bomkin Jensen getting stuck on that
tree. You're like, oh, I can feel that. That entire bathroom scene when Neil is taking a shower and he steps on the wet towel. You can feel that. You've been there. You know, like you're in a shower where things don't drain very fast and it starts building up
everywhere.
You step on a wet towel and there's a wet floor, like, oh, like you can, me and my wife both just kind of went, ugh, that's so gross. You can feel that scene, how gross everything is.
The fact that he just sees everything across that entire countertop, man, and the one thing left is a little tiny hand washcloth that he's got to try to dry off with. I mean, what do you dry off with that? You go to two places and
wait, okay, so where do you go? If you got one towel, you got to dry something off right away.
You go to your face and then
you got to go face first because
the next spot is
your junk. Yes. You can't go junk first.
No, you can't go junk first. This doesn't have the same like capabilities of like reversing for the other side. You have to do a very specific order.
You know, I mean,
drying
like
this off.
Just man, like you, if, I mean, I guess you might have a beard or something like that, but like you want to wash off, you want to get your face dry, and then go down to the nether regions because it's already got a built-in towel down there unless you use our code confused at manscaped.com. Get there. It might be done by now. I don't even know.
No one knows.
We don't know.
Let's just get there,
but we still enjoy the product, so go get it.
Yeah.
100%.
Bringing a hypoallergenic pillow is a good move.
Yeah. Great move.
That's a great move.
He's been living on the road for a while. He knows.
And he needs it, obviously.
That's why he's got a fucking trunk.
Like, I have to imagine that this is what it's like for my girlfriend when I have when I come to bed, staying up so late to do Reacher for this show. Like, snorting mucus and making gross noises is just the what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, she's, like, sound asleep and I come to bed, and she's awake for another hour because it takes me another hour to get to sleep when I go to bed, just, like, doing my inhaler. Like, shaking, getting out of bed, and, like, pulling over the... my dog, Theo, is in the corner, just, like, scratching at his fucking thing.
Yeah, playing on his tablet.
I can only imagine, exactly.
John Candy Dells, when he says sorry after that, like, is my... He just goes, I'm sorry. And then you think it's over, and then he keeps going. And then that's when Neil fucking freaks out. So, Neil sucks. Neil is like our boy in fucking Encino Man, our main character. Sean Astin. Where this is when you really true. Like, we've all been in travel situations where, like, we're not our best if things are going wrong. It's understandable. But this is when you really realize that fuck Neil. Because, I mean, like, he just keeps going.
Yeah.
Like, he could have said one bad line to Dell and called it good, but he keeps going, and he keeps thinking of more things he can say and more bad things, even staring into that hurt look of Dell's eyes.
Yeah.
Like, that's a hard face to look at that is sad, and he keeps fucking going. I mean, like, that dude, fuck Neil.
Oh, yeah.
I feel this part. Like, when he's it's actually hurtful to me, like watching him berate this man like this, and, like, what he says, he's like, not even your anecdotes are interesting. It's like, I don't know why you keep talking. It's just like, damn, dude.
That's some cold shit.
That's fucked up.
Like, and here's another thing.
And to know this about a person this soon, like, I don't know. Like, you can't. You know, to judge a person like that, this automatic, where he's only stuck his neck up for you this entire time, you know, so far.
It's really tough to not be upset with him. And then you're like, but you're like, you didn't have to go that far. I mean, you've got that lone bed, those crazy sheets that are, you know, are, like, scratchy.
He exploded beer cans on it.
That felt blanket that's in the middle. You know that felt blanket from motels, right? On top of that, he has beer.
He's like sleeping in a puddle of beer.
Which
they kind of gloss over.
He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know they'd top over. He's like, you had open beer cans
on a vibrating,
bed. Like,
what did you think was going to happen? I didn't know.
And by the way, someone's going to have to explain to me, like, this 80s, 90s, like, experiment of the vibrating motel
Have you ever
bed.
Been in a hotel with one?
No. I have been in one.
No, he's never planned to kill someone before.
Well, keep in mind that any hotel that has a vibrating bed is not a hotel. It's a motel. Yes.
Yeah.
There ain't no indoor hotels that have vibrating beds.
He's rented by the hour.
He's not a migrating peasant. AJ is not. Sorry, I'm not a knock against. I like John Candy's comeback, though. He's like, well, I like me. It's like, he's a very, very confident man. He's comfortable with himself, and he knows who he is and everything like that. I do like that comeback. Like, I mean, like, if anybody was making fun of you, just say that. He's like, well, I like me. So I don't really give a fuck what
But then he goes and lays down, and he's facing the wall, but he's looking back at him, and
he's back. He's like,
making sure is he leaving or is he staying? He moves his head back really quick.
Oh, I don't like the music coming in the scene either. Like, that's one of my flaws about it, is it didn't need, like, the sting of, like, oh, boom. Like, oh, this is sad about John Candy. Yeah. Like, we want to sympathize with him. Like, we are automatically
we do. Yeah.
The music was, like, a little cheesy for me, and I didn't really like it, but that's my only flaw about this scene.
You know me. We're talking cameos. Did you recognize the hotel thief? The guy who steals their money?
Wasn't he also in Pete and Pete?
No.
No?
The guy that steals their money in the middle of the night, his name's Gary Riley. He played Charlie Hogan, who's one of the goons in Stand By Me, one of the gang members.
Oh, no shit.
The blonde-haired gang member in Stand By Me.
Oh, my God. Damn.
I was like, shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Wow. And it was like a year before this, so there you go.
Damn.
It was just, well, you know me.
How about that? You know me.
Not to take it too far back. I had to... I know we mentioned it a little bit, but I'm right here with you, Mike. Ungrateful wife. I had to bring it back around. Well, we got rerouted to Wichita. I don't understand. What a storm in Chicago has to do with you being in Wichita. It's like, bitch, what are you talking about? We got rerouted. Like, what do you mean? Like, you're upset? You're home? You're in bed? You're warm?
You're like, in this giant house. You're having the best time.
Yeah.
Our parents are all on the way, and I'm probably not going to be there. Like, what are we mad about here?
Who's going to mash the potatoes?
Yeah.
I don't know. Get someone to try it yourself.
Well, the garbage hasn't been taken out today. It's like, what the fuck do you want?
I'm telling you, she's like one of the most stupid characters in any fucking movie that I've ever seen. Like, I don't understand her part.
I tried to attach to her like as like the wife, and she doesn't have actually much of any substance as a character. No. Like, I'm going to say, I've got to say that, because you're just like, yeah, it's the wife. Why didn't we have any route to get attached to her?
Okay, let's go to Uncle Buck. At least, like, we hated the parents and Uncle Buck,
right?
Especially the mom.
Yeah,
but like, she, you could kind of sympathize with her. You can be like, okay, I get it. She's got a teenage daughter. Like,
yeah,
it's tough. Things are tough around here. Like, what is so tough for you, Mrs. Fucking Neal? Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
what's bad? What's going on? Tell me. Maybe it is. Like, explain
exactly.
To me.
I want to know, like, why you're upset, because like, because like right now it seems like. You're just chill, and
we
like,
are digging ourselves.
Are
a
we?
Hole.
Are we focusing too much?
We are digging ourselves a hole with real people in our lives. I can tell you that right now.
No, my wife would be like, "God, that really sucks. Yeah. I hope you're safe and get home as soon as you
exactly.
can."
Exactly,
she would.
I literally just went through a similar
yes,
experience,
you did.
Guys. If you've follow, if you're on our Patreon, you know what I went through, and I just went through the same thing. I will tell you that my wife said.
Oh,
no,
that sucks.
You're there. You have to do this trip. You need to see the best of it. You need, like, I hope that you're safe, and gave me like a great pep talk.
Yes.
In the middle of this. So no, I'm not digging a hole. I'm wondering what that bitch's hole she's living in.
Okay? Sean, did we fuck up? Is this bad, Sean?
No, I don't think I'm more secure than ever.
Okay, good. Good.
Jeremy, go ahead and cut out the last 10 minutes. I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Cedar Ridge Distillery. We knew we wanted to partner with someone local, and we definitely knew we wanted to rep somebody that we actually used and loved. So partnering up with Cedar Ridge Distillery was a no-brainer for us. One of the fastest growing whiskey companies in America, who was named Distillery of the Year in 2017, which is made right in our backyard. And we do truly love all their products, from the quintessential American single malt, their whiskey collaboration with Slipknot.
People equal shit. People equal shit.
And of course, the flagship bourbon, which I am drinking right now. If you're in Iowa or around the Midwest, you can likely find some at your favorite local establishments. If you want to give it a shot but are elsewhere in the country, like a few of our friends have reached out so far, you can order online at cedarridgewhiskey.com. We truly hope you'll make it a point to grab some of this delicious whiskey. Honestly, I have a glass every night. It just calms me down from the shit of the world. It makes me feel warm inside, especially like on a nice winter's evening.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
but yeah. I mean, truly, we're so glad that you're going to check them out. We're so happy to have them supporting our podcast. So leave us a message. Tell us what you think. If you grabbed a bottle, we want to hear all about it.
Totally.
And of course, you need to enjoy it responsibly.
Absolutely. Please. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
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 The next day, while eating at the hotel's diner, they find that their money's been stolen overnight. After hitching a ride to Stubville, train don't go to Wichita, they manage to get on a train bound for Chicago. However, as the pain trashes through Missouri, the main engine breaks down and the passengers are forced to find other transportation. Dell and Neil then take a bus, which gets them as far as St. Louis. The wake up in the morning cuddle scene.
Very funny scene.
When John Candy like gently kisses his ear,
it's very sensual.
I fucking lost it. And then I thought about how many funny outtakes they probably had from
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
There's so much of this that I have to just try to remember that they are comedic giants. Like,
and
professionals,
great friends.
And great friends. And you're just like, you have to try to remember that this sinus clearing. How did Steve Martin not lose it how did he keep it together while he's clearing? Sorry. Like you said, sorry. And he's just like, and then he continues on with it. It's almost like they're trying to get each other to break every now and again,
completely.
Man. And the pillow stuff, and then the gentle kisses. Yeah. Where's your other hand? It's like in between two pillows. It's like, those aren't pillows.
Yeah, times have changed, man. Like, in cuddling with your buddies is not a big deal.
No.
We've done it all the time.
And that is very 80s, the like, shake it off and you have to be man.
Catch Bears game last week. We got a great team this year, I think.
Like, I mean, I think that's a long time ago. I mean, that's more than 30 years ago. Like, if I woke up next to AJ, I'd be like, that's pretty funny, dude. I'm sorry I kissed you.
My hands need to be warm. It's like, it's okay. That's the warmest part of my body.
So anyway, should we try to figure out how to get back home?
Or probably should. We don't have to tell the wives about this, though. It's just with you and me.
And then we're introduced to Gus's son, Owen.
Yeah, dude.
My God.
One of the most creepiest character actors of all time.
Who is that?
Dylan Baker.
Oh, my
Dylan
God.
Dylan Baker.
Dude.
He plays a great creepo.
He does.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat, yes.
We just watched that.
Yeah.
He's also very much like, I'm trying to remember, he plays these very like straight-laced characters a lot, too, that it's like frustrating or annoying, kind of like the annoying like production assistant or like assistant to the CEO kind of person. Mm-hmm. Like he plays this person all the time that you're just like, God, that guy needs to get punched in his face all the time.
Either that character or the creepy guy, like especially in the movie Happiness. Yeah. If you guys have ever seen that, people who have seen that know what I'm talking about. It's very, very fucked up in that movie. But yeah, this is like his character that he created apparently. And like the whole like chewing thing, like where he spit in his hand and like stuck his hand out to shake his hand. Steve Martin didn't know he was going to do that. I think John Hughes came up to him. He's like, hey, just do this. And like, we'll see what happens. Because a lot of this was improv too. Like this whole movie was pretty much improv.
He deserves a fucking award for that. I mean, like took it over. Noise. Train don't go out of Wichita. Like, what the? Oh,
people
my
train goes out of Stubville.
People train out of Stubville. I mean, and then he's got the line that her first baby came out sideways. She didn't scream or nothing.
It's real
and
sturdy.
And she's just standing there.
She's a good woman.
I mean, that was short and sweet. I love that scene. I love all the people that they're meeting on these travel movies where you're going from place to place. That's half the amazingness of it is meeting these people. And okay, then you're gone. You're never going to see fucking Gus's son Owen ever again. But it was pretty awesome. And you're going to remember that until the day you die.
What are you doing? Put that baby down. Get this thing picked up.
She's strong.
She's strong.
Don't they travel by bus after this?
No, so he takes Gus's son Owen takes him to the train station.
Right.
They get on the Amtrak, or sorry, the Comtrak. Contrail and Amtrak mix together. But this is, again, where Neil fucks up.
Okay.
When you're traveling, don't you ever count those chickens before they're hatched.
Yeah.
Don't you ever sit on a fucking train and be like, oh, wow, I'm going to be home. He's like dreaming of Thanksgiving dinner. And
never,
he's
man.
Having a conversation with the girl that goes to college, going home, okay. Don't you ever do that because you know the next thing that train's gonna bust.
That's right.
It's gonna break down, man.
You gotta stay on edge.
Yes.
You have to stay focused. I'm telling you, like I say, guys, I had a little bit of PTSD when I watched this movie.
I
again.
Was thinking about you the entire time.
I'm telling you, there were so many familiarities like with this movie from when I was trying to go overseas. It was too close for comfort in some points, and the train was definitely one of them, because literally when this happened, like I remember we hit a train delay when I went.
Yep.
Train delay in the middle underneath the English Channel, by the way, that you're just like, we're stuck underneath
underwater right now.
This is what we're doing. And I immediately thought of that when the train breaks down and stops and Neil gets out. And then, by the way, they're gonna tell them to walk a mile and a half.
What else are they gonna do?
Well, it's like you think about like the people who are like who can't do that.
Yeah, right. It's not ADA.
Have you ever walked across a tilled field?
It's terrible.
It is the worst.
A
fucking
frozen
thing.
Tilled
a
field.
Frozen tilled.
It's like little butcher knives sticking out of the ground.
It's the worst thing on this earth, man. To try to like navigate that, somebody definitely broke an ankle on the way over.
You got an old guy in a wheelchair. What are we doing?
No way.
What
man.
Is happening?
No
well,
way.
Well, you're saying about travel today, even too. It's just like well, like even in this movie where there's a huge waiting line. line for the payphone. I'm like, good God.
Can you imagine?
Like that would, oh, like that would only like hold you up that much more. Like you could have backups or like, I know this train's going to fucking break down or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I got to get someone I know in Wichita or something like that to come help me out.
Oh,
like,
I have a Facebook. I have four Facebook friends exactly. in Wichita. Wow. I should probably call them
yeah,
up.
Yeah. I got this group that I'm part of and thank God. Some shit, you know, like you could do that and they couldn't back then. And that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the bus takes them to the bus station while they're waiting for, like, an actual bus.
That's right.
And that's when John Candy does the earring salesman. Like, that. Tell me, that's improv, right?
It's got
every line that he says, lines. It's one of those things, it's like, just, okay, just keep going. Say something else. Say something else. Go ahead. I mean, it's amazing.
And he's actively making money, too.
Signed by Daryl Strawberry.
and then even when they get to the restaurant and they're eating now, you can see a lady in the background that's got the earrings on. In the far background, you can totally see her.
It's like fucking shower gauges curtains. Before they were gauges.
Yeah.
What an obnoxious thing. It's like, oh, they definitely make you look older. I'd say 18, 19. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, here's the money. It's brilliant, man.
And then they get on the bus ride, like the singing bus ride.
That's right.
That's like my nightmare. It's, don't put me on a bus where people are singing songs.
And I'm just like, in a movie called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, it's like, you weren't allowed here. Like, but get the fuck out of your bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is a jip. What the fuck is this movie, dudes?
But it's so funny. It again shows how fucking out of touch Neil is. Like, they're all singing Flintstones. Yeah. And he's, I don't even know what song he sings.
Three
like,
coins. Three coins in the fountain.
Come on, you know.
You know, this old adage. Yeah. Three lovers. No. Flintstones, Flintstones.
But it's Del Griffith. It's his kind. He looks at Neil when he starts singing that song. He's like, oh shit, he's gonna bomb here. Yeah. And he immediately is like, I can save this. Yeah. And because he could have just let Neil fucking bomb. Oh, everybody's like, hey, does everybody hate Neil? Yeah. He could have totally done that, but nope.
And Flintstones was apparently John Candy's favorite cartoon back in the day. So that's a little fun tip.
Is that right?
For that charming ass man. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Took my Flintstone vitamin today.
Right? You got to. Yep. Just think about him every time.
I do.
I think about him every morning, actually.
Flintstone a day keeps the COVID away.
You bet.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
I think they've said that.
All right, let's move on to scene 4. So still uncomfortable with Dell, Neil suggests they part ways. Neil heads to St. Louis Airport to rent a car, only to find that the car he rented is not there. On his way out of the airport, he again runs into Dell, who has obtained a rental car. Late in the night, Dell ends up almost killing them by going the wrong way on the highway. Shortly afterward, a cigarette that Dell had not put out ignites the car in flames. After getting the fire out, the two make their way to a hotel. Neil manages to get a room, but Dell is not so lucky. Though Neil finally takes pity on Dell and allows him to stay in the room as well.
It's so funny when he's like walking up to the car spot. I'm thinking to myself, like, he's actually hopeful, like, he at thinks, walking up to the car where the car is supposed to be anyway.
Finally split ways.
And then it's the shot where it's just like, what's his V5 or something V5. Like that? And it's like V3, V4. And finally gets the V5 and he's like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, I, like, in my entire, like, while watching this, I'm like, it's not going to be there.
No.
No.
Like, we all knew it wasn't going to be
well,
there.
Well, like, for movie wise anyway, but if that was me, then in the couple of days that I've had already, yep. I'd be like, it's not going to be there. Yeah. I'm going to walk. It's the only car not going to be there.
Yeah.
Every other car is going to like, give me one of these cars, you know?
No, I'm sorry, we can't do that.
It's too much. And then he has to walk. He has to traverse back.
Yeah. Like, dude, I grew up in St. Louis. That is 100% Lambert Airport in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And he 100% walked around Lambert Airport. Like, none of that was staged. Like, he was actually walking.
Oh my God.
On the highway next to Lambert Airport. Sitting here going, holy shit.
You know, it's one of those things that you, when you drive places or you're traveling, like you're in a car, you're in a bus, wherever you're doing, you go by all these places that seem small. A road seems small to you. The highway seems small when you're in a car, right? Have you ever walked next to a highway? Have you ever been on the highway?
Just had it's a intense. Flat tire in a trailer a couple weekends ago.
Oh, my and God.
And yeah.
And how fucking scary is it?
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying to be out there. When you have to stand on a highway, if you have to walk down the highway, those lines that are in those centered hashes, those things are like feet long.
Yeah, they are.
Like, it's insane, man. I can't imagine walking across like a tarmac of an airport.
Good
like,
Lord.
Are you a runway? Are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That would be so terrifying, man. Too much.
The whole scene where it's the girl from
Edie McClurg.
She's from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah,
as the principal's right hand woman.
Unbelievable.
So good. Just the one scene. I think she was on set for one day, but just the most iconic scene from this movie, probably. I would imagine.
I think so.
Probably
just because it's the only scene that got its R rating, which is bullshit. Like honestly, it's.
Would you say fucking bullshit?
Fucking bullshit.
Well, can we argue that if you say it once, it doesn't matter anymore, yeah. Right?
Like
it's not like
you're building.
Yeah, it's not like oh, you said it. Oh, now they're really learning this word. Yeah. These kids are no.
Yeah, I think it's like you're allowed two shits in a movie and like one fuck to get two shits. Yeah, to get to PG-13. But
is that why they say I couldn't give two shits?
Maybe. That's fun.
I hope so.
All right, cool.
It is now.
Oh, that wins.
but I think Steve Martin like actually had like a huge or big deal about this because I think he went to the MPAA and was like, "Can we just? This is like the only scene in the movie. It's just one scene. You know, it's literally like a minute long. I think like on the dot." And he's just like trying to get them to come down with the PG rating. And it's just like, I don't know. If Steven Spielberg made this movie, he probably would have got away with
it. Right.
For some fucking reason. But it's just like, I don't know. For this movie being R-rated just for this scene alone is ridiculous.
Stupid. It's a fucking word. Do you know how many times he says it?
I didn't. I didn't count.
18 times.
18 times.
18 times he says that word in 60 seconds. And dude, Edie McClurg. She's on the phone yeah. talking about making the food, and then she goes, gobble, 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 gobble. I said, I'm going to call everyone I know on Thanksgiving this year and go, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. And she just improv that too. Like John Hughes, like, I don't know, do something. She's like, okay.
She's like, pretend like you're talking to your fucking sister before Thanksgiving. I did find, so I wondered. There's been some terrible TV edits over time, right?
Yeah,
where they take a scene like this and they take it to TV and it's just terrible. But this one I had to know. I typed in on YouTube. I said edited
TV planes,
trains, and automobiles car rental scene.
Give me a Falcon car with a Falcon.
That's what I expected. they completely reshot the scene while they were there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he's saying different. He's just saying, a Falcon and a Camaro or a Corvette. So it's him saying it. There's no overdubs. They just had a whole nother set of dialogue for the TV version.
Okay.
So they knew it was going to be a hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give me a Falcon.
Could you imagine that being dubbed over? It's just, you wouldn't watch the movie. Like, you're waiting for this scene, you know, if you love this movie.
It's like Major League when he goes, strike this fucking guy out. In the TV version, he goes, strike this guy out.
Bye.
But I think it's like Die Hard 2 or something like that. He's like, yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. Said a motherfucker.
He's like, wait, what? What does that have to do with Falcons?
I don't understand. Well, his name isn't Mr. Falcon.
Oh my God. No, it's really, it's not. By then, Del Griffith comes to save the day again.
No kidding. Del was able to rent a car.
Yep.
We'll find out later on why. But does that mean that Neil rented a car with Del's Diner's Club card? Right?
It had to be.
He tried to rent the car with Del's card because he says at one point he's only got like this card and like a gas card and something else. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, for me, I kept thinking about that. I was like, because he got very accusative.
Accusatory?
Accusatory.
Accusatorian.
Accusatorious of Del about using his card and stealing it. And I was like, well, how did he get a card?
That's very true, you know? Man.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But none of that applies to Neil. Neil's a piece of shit.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
No
one
cares. And actually, I was thinking about that. It's like, wouldn't you notice it if you looked at your car? It's like, you never. As long as it's the color card you think you're pulling out of your wallet, you don't look at your name.
That feels like the crack.
That looks like oh yeah, that's my shitty ATM one. Yeah.
Well, it's like when he's like arguing with the guy outside. I forget
Lambert Wrangler. Airport.
Yeah. The guy punches him, and in reality, that guy could have been a murderer.
Yeah. I had that written down too.
Like, punches him, he lands in the street, and Del almost hits him.
He basically instigated vehicular manslaughter.
Boom. You're going to jail.
Boom.
Non-voluntary vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah.
There it is. There's the terms.
If you could ride in a car with one person in history, the answer is John Candy.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, like, every car that he's in every single movie looks like the funnest time ever. There's, like, think of Uncle Buck. Think of Great Outdoors. There's always great music playing.
Yeah.
He's pretending to play instruments. He's playing the key. He looks like he's having the best time of his life.
Oh, yeah.
I drive to Ankeny, Iowa, which is 2 hours away from where we live. So it's a four-hour drive there and back. And sometimes I get a little sleep. I'll be honest. Sometimes podcasts just can't do it for me. And watching this scene, I'm like, that is me just trying to fucking stay awake. Just like, playing air guitar, like singing the top of my lungs. Yeah, or it's like cars driving by. I'm like, fuck you, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But listening to Ray Charles is just like the most John Candy and thing that I could ever think of. And it's so fun to watch.
I was coming home last night. We were just coming back. Literally last night, we had to drive from Chicago O'Hare Airport to home, which is, without tolls, a little over 4 hours.
Terrible drive.
It's an awful drive. And by the end of it, I was literally trying to, like, play instruments on the fucking steering wheel. I was, like, hitting myself in the face. I was doing anything I could to, like, I was, like, crumpling stuff in my face, like wrappers and stuff, to try to stay awake. I should have taken a note from him and just put on Ray Charles and just fucking
try to take your. I guarantee if you tried to take your jacket off and you got caught, you'd be wide awake.
That's so funny.
You'd be wide awake.
Oh, yeah. You'd be fucking scared. Has that happened to you guys? Have you guys ever kind of caught with like one of your arm? You're like, oh, fuck. Oh, God. it's pretty terrifying.
Dude, I picked my dog up from the daycare today, and I drive a manual.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, a manual. I always confuse it.
You know you don't have to do that anymore, right?
You know they make automatic.
The car does it for you now. It's fine. You go ahead.
It does?
You go ahead.
Oh, wow. But I'm like holding him in one arm, pulling like I got my foot on the clutch and my foot on the gas and the fucking goddamn toggle. And he's like in my
face
trying to kiss.
Car works?
I have no idea. I don't know how I got here, guys.
The toggle.
The toggle.
Oh, I got here.
Anyway, it's difficult. My life sucks.
My life sucks.
I want to laugh right now, but I can't.
It's pretty good. I like when that happens. All right. Great line of the movie is when they're like, "You're going the wrong way," and he's like, "He said we're going the wrong way. How do they know where we're going?" That was over my head as a kid. I don't know. Because, like, no, like, oh, you idiot. Hey, speaking of which, I actually had someone drive past me last weekend going the wrong way.
Are you serious?
On a four-lane highway.
That was me, dude. I don't know how anything works. I'm so sorry.
Sean's off the rails. Off the planes, trains, rains.
There you go. It's hard, right?
Fuck, my throat hurts so bad.
I'm going to keep trying to move this along
this
until
is the
we
best
get up.
Scene in the movie. It's so fucking funny. I mean, and it's funny how John Hughes has these like weird, like Tim Burton-esque like snippets in these movies where John Candy like turns into like a skeleton for a quick second.
And then the devil.
It's like, ah!
There's a photo we'll share on our Facebook of Steve Martin with his arm around John Candy, and John Candy's got devil makeup on.
Oh, my
gosh. Had to have been right after that scene.
Oh, I want a photo of that on my desk so bad.
Just like best buddies, just hanging out.
Like I say, man, like some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, is like it's so hard to not think about. Like for that very, very slight, small instance, they had to dress John Candy up like that, and he had to walk out on set like that, and like
for literally just Steve like 3 minutes, had 3 seconds of a shot.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, like not even.
It took a whole day's worth of makeup.
A whole day's worth of makeup or whatever, and like Steve Martin got to see that for the first time, and I just imagined him just like them having a laugh about it, man.
So
it's
he's just gonna take
great.
5 hours, you know. I'm not gonna be able to get the scene.
It's okay. We're gonna get a cool, funny photos with it. It'll be great.
Oh, it's funny.
It's so good. But like also in Home Alone, we're like. What's his name? Stern, yeah. Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern, yeah.
Gets shocked and he turns into a skeleton for
just
a second.
For one second.
It's just like weird things like that that John Hughes will do. And this is a scene that happens in it too. But I love where they end up like just sitting on the trunk.
Yep.
And we'll get to the trunk later. Just sitting on the trunk and they end up by a Chicago sign, which is really funny. Like the sign is just like Chicago this way.
102 miles.
Yeah. And the fucking car lights up in the background is so fucking good. Just them looking behind like, that's cool. Wait.
And you gotta laugh about it. No. Did you guys recognize the hotel clerk?
Yes, sir.
Please tell me where he's from. It's been a movie that we've done.
Yeah.
Maybe you know another one.
Jurassic Park.
He's the attorney in Jurassic Park.
That's right.
Martin Ferrero. I am going, who the fuck is this guy? He was the attorney who got eaten off the toilet by the T-Rex.
That's so fucking cool. Like, it's literally an alumni of this, of like the episodes that we've covered.
Yeah, it kind of is.
It's crazy how this movie has been traversing our lineage.
No, that's great.
Thank
awesome,
you.
Man.
Yeah, I did it.
So they see the cars on fire. They do eventually make it to the hotel, right? And they're making it all the way there. And I know that there's the little thing with the phone in the room, and it's got a lock on it. That's super weird.
Yeah.
That's a very creepy thing. But to some degree, I have to think that Neil could possibly get some sort of phone call to his wife. I have to think. Somehow use the lobby phone, whatever. He's 102 miles from Chicago. She could just go get him. She could just go get him. She could just go get him, man. Like,
she could have got him in St. Louis.
It's like 102. Yeah. Like, it's like, dude, yeah.
Taking my headphones off. Just ruined this entire show for me.
It's 102 miles. It's like, at that point, the hotel's probably less than 100 miles away. That's 4 hours round trip, man. I'm just saying, like, she
grandma
just,
and grandpa are already in town.
They're
already in town.
They could easily, very easily. I'm just saying, it's like, oh, grandma and grandpa, I know her dad. I'm going to go get dad. He's just having one hell of a week. Like, I'm going to go get him.
Be on your best behavior when we get home. It's been a long.
So I'm going to go get him. And
fuck you, AJ. This is my role. God, I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either. I'm like, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. Of course they're at a hotel.
John Candy's so distracting. I can't think about anything else.
Before I tell you this, I love that when he's like, I got $2 and a Casio, and he like presents it on his arm.
It's a salesmanship coming back, baby.
I'm sorry. I can't help you.
I have to say goodnight.
So this is the first moment where Neil actually becomes a human being.
Yeah.
And when Neil finally he looks outside and he invites him in. From this moment on is pure happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Like he decided to be a good human being and just sit back and say,
yeah,
this is actually kind of crazy, dude. Let's come on inside. Let's have some fucking little bottles.
So much fun.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's not a bad thing that happens. They even get pulled over, go to jail, and they're still like, this is great.
Yeah.
They ride in the back of a truck. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's because he lets happiness into his life. A piece of shit.
Go with the flow.
Yes.
John Candy's whole like spiel to himself outside. I'm just like, how is this man never nominated for anything?
I don't know.
And I'm not sure if he was or not, but it's just crazy how he, like, and I know, like, even Ebert said, he's like, they kind of cast Steve Martin and John Candy as themselves. But if you're in a movie playing yourself and you're the best person on the entire planet, then you need an Oscar. I don't care. Yeah. Like, give this man an honorary thing. I don't care. It's just
Pulitzer Prize, like Nobel Peace Prize, whatever.
Give it all to him.
That is what he deserves.
Presidential seal. I don't care.
Yeah.
The whole drinking in the hotel scene is so much fun. I just like, imagine being there, you know?
Dude.
God damn it.
It's one of my final notes. Of they're having their drinks in the hotel, and I just imagine this is some of the most real John Candy on film.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I buy this 100%.
Yeah, I think it is. Like, he's having they're drinking or whatever. They're having their little drinks or whatever. But he's like, man, like, pulling my ass off of that seat. It looks like I was grilled. You know, he's just making jokes. And again, I think it's just I feel like that's genuine laughter from Steve Martin coming out from him. That John Candy is just getting him rolling. Just, it's funny, like, he's got all those fucking little mini shooters and the snacks in his trunk.
Jamaica Mon.
Yeah.
And they're Irie. And they're just genuinely cracking each other up. And that is like one of the most wholesome, like, moments in movies I think I've ever seen. I don't know.
When John Candy's laughing and he goes in the bathroom, but then he opens the door again and he's still
yeah.
And he closes the door. I don't buy people acting drunk usually in movies.
Right.
I buy that. I'm like, they were drinking on scene. He's got a good buzz going on.
Shooters and just chilling and
those,
like,
are real shooters.
Yeah, man.
All right, so let's finish this up.
Let's do it.
On the road the next day, the two are pulled over when their vehicle is clocked going over the speed limit. The vehicle is impounded, but Dell finds an alternate transportation mode in the back of a semi. Finally arriving in Chicago on Thanksgiving Day, Neil and Dell part ways. On the elevated train system, Neil thinks about Dell and realizes that he may not have a home or a family. Neil then brings Dell home with him for Thanksgiving dinner, and Dell is overjoyed to meet Neil's family.
Another goddamn cameo, Michael McKean as the cop. And fucking Coneheads and Jesus,
best everything. In show. Yeah, best in show. Best he in was show. A, he was a part of all that. Eugene Levy, the Second City.
What's
or
the goddamn whole world. Rob Reiner movie? Rock and Roll.
Spinal Tap.
Thank
Spinal
you.
Spinal
Tap. Yes. Yeah. So Man. Fucking good. So cool to see him in this.
He kind of plays kind of a normal cop, too.
Yeah, right?
He wasn't, like, over the
there
top.
There were cutout scenes, apparently, that around right? that entire thing.
Is yeah. that right?
Oh, in my fact, God. In fact, so Dell and Neil, he's a Wisconsin state trooper. If you know your U.S. geography, St. Louis is southwest of Chicago.
Yeah.
Wisconsin is north of Chicago.
Right.
So, supposedly, like, they went out of their way and didn't know where they were going, which explains all the added time.
Oh.
And it, like, also explains, like, the truck that they're riding is coming from the north side of Chicago.
That's right. And it's like a cheese truck. It's like Oshkagan.
Exactly. So Wisconsin. Yeah. So they skipped. There must have been all this plot line about how they went the wrong way.
Definitely. Yeah.
And they just kind of said, hey, whatever. Point. Who cares?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That explains so much. I didn't even realize that.
And that's such a Tommy Boy thing, right?
With, oh, yeah.
Like 100%. Tommy Boy had to rip that off.
Oh, my gosh.
Of the two friends singing songs and in the beat-up car driving down the road. God, it has
it's
to be.
Direct, man. Yes. It is direct.
John Candy also, he said, I know it's not pretty to look at, but it'll get you where you want to go. He says that to Michael McKean, the cop. He says that also in Cool Runnings.
That's right.
To the team's bobsled the first time they see
yeah.
it.
Oh, nice.
Kind of a nice little tribute there.
Oh, I love that.
So I want to bring this up right now. There's a theory out there. I don't know if you guys have heard this or not. So we do know coming up here, at least, that his wife is dead. And there's a theory out there that in the trunk is her body or her bones or her remains or anything like that.
You shut your mouth.
Yeah.
What?
This is the only fan theory that I've ever heard that makes me watch the movie differently now. Like all the other ones are like, yeah, that's fun. I like that. That's funny. It's funny to think about. I like that. But this is the only one that like, oh, shit. Like that.
He never opens it, does he?
It's kind of heavy, too. I mean, I know it's a trunk, but like, it's just like, oh, man. That's pretty fucking disturbing and weird to me.
8 years.
Yeah.
They also, I don't know if this adds to it at all. And maybe it kind of does. He does carry it. They do carry it upside down a lot, too.
Mm.
Like, really?
Yeah, they carry that trunk upside down a lot. So
I'm sorry to ruin this.
Yeah, you
I think we should give up.
So anyway, why does he ring the doorbell to his own house?
Pretty fun. Man. What a weirdo, huh?
Halloween's over, Sean. Let it go.
I just love to.
I tried to rinse the taste out with that cider you had, but
it's bad, man. I love to, as he's thinking about his family and it gets to his kids, it shows one with the bowl cut. I think it's Matthew Lawrence. I'm like, it is.
He's like, kid. He looks like he's dressed like a leprechaun or an old man too. He's got suspenders on and like a freaking cardigan. And he's got like golfer pants on.
Are lederhosen like a traditional Thanksgiving
late
like,
80s guys.
Attire?
I was there.
You
that's
had,
what you wear.
It's what you do apparently. Jesus Christ.
Apparently that scene too where he's just it's Martin or Steve Martin just like kind of looking off and like remembering his family, thinking about his family. That was all. He didn't know a camera was on him that entire time. So John Hughes was just filming him like in between shots and he was just like, just roll. So, and it was just Steve Martin like literally thinking about his lines and like what he was going to do next in the next scene and everything that. And he just like kept it in. He was like, it was so naturalistic. I had to use it. This is kind of cool.
That's brilliant.
It switches
man.
From his wife who just doesn't care to then now he gets back to Dell and he's like, oh shit. He connects the dots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Dell has a family or home. Goes back and gets them.
Yeah. And
sure enough. Ugh, that's tough.
It's really a devastating revelation to hear about Dell. And like this is what made me like not really like the movie before. And like as a kid or anything, I'm like, oh, why is it sad now? So like one of those reviewers is like, it's why is it sad? It's not funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it gets there, but like it also makes it a little bit more heartfelt. And like that's I don't know, it's just John Candy to me, and
John Hughes too. Like
yeah, and it's like, well, John Candy plays these characters where he's like he's having kind of major issues with his life, but he's always positive.
Yep.
And that's what I love about all of his characters that he plays.
I feel like that was maybe him as a real human.
Kind
of. Like, you know?
I think so. He always like hid them from people in these movies too, where they eventually get revealed.
Yeah,
I gotta imagine that's the man as
it's
well.
The Chris Farley thing, the John Belushi, like mm-hmm. they can never turn it off, but like they don't take care of themselves; they're worried about everybody else. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah, man. I wrote it as like it's one of the most equally heartwarming and heart wrenching moments, right. obviously of this movie, but on like a lot of movies. I don't know. It's tough to watch. I'm like watching this like on an airplane, and I'm just like kind of tearing up a little bit. I'm like, fuck, thank God it's dark in here. It's like, man,
if that didn't get you, that John Candy freeze frame at the end always gets you.
That John Candy freeze
frame.
That
Uncle Buck ending, man. Yeah.
And then, you know, thank God that his wife was just upstairs doing anything.
She was just crying on her bed while everyone's downstairs making Thanksgiving dinner.
Right. Everyone else is doing everything else.
Fuck, it's one Thanksgiving. It's just,
would you please?
Well, last thing I got, I've never watched it until this time. I accidentally just left it on. There's an after the credits scene.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Credits roll for like 4 minutes. It's Neil's boss still at his desk with Thanksgiving dinner on it, and he's still looking at the posters going, I don't know. And then
that's fucking fun. Man, I wish I would have stuck around.
Shit, man.
Well, anything else you guys want to say?
I don't think so.
No.
All right.
I don't think so.
Modern day ratings. It's time, AJ.
Let's hit it.
What do you feel about this? Modern day critical eye.
It's I have to attach this to obviously the holidays, and I love this time of year, and you know, I love everything about this movie. John Hughes, John Candy, Steve Martin, all the cameo casting and B-listers and everything that goes on with it. It's just a fun time. It's enjoyable. I have to say this has got to be an 8.1.
8.1 for the age. What about you, Sean?
It's fucking great. Honestly, I'm not even going to go into it. It's John Candy, Steve Martin, John Hughes. It is a 8 for me.
8 straight up. I'm a 7.18 for the 18 fuckings that he gives out there. it's just classic. I mean, like, I'm not going to watch it maybe multiple times a year, but every Thanksgiving from here on out, it's an automatic guaranteed watch.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's how it is.
100%.
Essential.
Fan, I hope everyone's having a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I hope this puts you in the holiday spirit.
Let in the man who won't shut up, and his anecdotes are funny. Just give him some turkey, and he might be fun.
And also, just go easy on your spouse if work's tough and they're traveling and they're trying their best to provide for the family. Just go easy.
Yeah,
traveling's hard around the holidays.
I can take it easy.
Crazy schedules. We got two movies tonight. You know, like
we're doing
all this research.
We're doing what we're doing, man.
Yeah, just we're fine.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the episode, everybody. It means the world to have you here with us. Tune in next Wednesday. Another great episode. We're bringing back the mini bites.
You bet.
Oh yeah,
Goosebumps. R.L. Stine series.
Goose pimples.
And then we're leaving it up to Sean. Sean has not told us yet what his pick is, but he said he would do it live on air. What is your pick, Sean?
I've decided it's going to be The Princess Bride, you guys. We're into The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
You've been asking for it.
Yeah.
Sean caved. So tune in, subscribe, hang out with us every Wednesday. It means the world.
Please.
Thanks for listening, guys. The most important thing you can do right now is to follow us on the social media, at Confused Breakfast on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And if you're on Twitter, Confused BeFast. You should also subscribe and leave us a review on your podcast platform of your choice that you're listening to on right now.
Also, will you please visit our merch store? We have merch, you guys. Shirts, stickers, koozies. Go check them out at confusedbreakfast.bigcartel.com.
And don't forget about our voicemail number. We want to hear from you. We want to hear those sexy voices. 319-804-9596. You can find links to everything at our website, confusedbreakfast.com. Tell your friends that's your mission this week. Get them to listen to an episode.
Guys, you can always find me anywhere on social media. It's AJ Venz, AJAYVENS, anywhere on social media online.
You can find me TikTok and Instagram, Sean Pryor 237. Goodbye.
And I'm generally called Mikey Schulte on things, but sometimes I'm not. So you're just going to have to like click on the links and the things and find us, okay?
Yep.
Got it.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Goodbye.
Deuces.
Bye.